This is still the news, according to me. We are under an urgent situation. This is getting ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. Hello, I'm Kevin. This is the news according to me. Appreciate you listening into this crazy world stuff that's going on. And we have a lot to cover today, this morning here in the Morning Mash. This is Topical Tuesday, and there's a lot of topics. It's we are seeing an incredible narrative being pushed by a lot of people on a lot of different sides. This has gotten out of control. It's absolutely ridiculous what we're seeing. We'll get into it. But it's, first of all, let me thank you for listening. And if you would, you know, subscribe and share this podcast, it really helps us out a lot. The listenership is increasing exponentially, which is kind of blowing my mind a little bit. I do appreciate those of you who are tuning in and sharing. I'd like for, if you can, you know, you can always, there's a number. If you want to participate in this process, you can call or text. Texting is probably the best thing to do. Text 574-742-6748. 574-742-6748. You can leave a message if you want. If you make a comment that's suitable to put on the broadcast, I can put it on the podcast here, and I can talk about it. If you have a text or a question or a comment that you want to put on, be happy to have that as involved as well. So please do that. I'd like to hear from, you know, that's nothing. It's nice to see that the listening is happening, but it's also, it'd be even more awesome if we could get some feedback and interaction with the crowd a little bit. So I do welcome that. So I'm going to get right into this, because the things that I'm seeing happening are just on every level across the board. And I'm going to give you what I think is at the core of this, and what actually allowing it, it's like the grease on the wheels to make this happen. And I'll get into that after I have a sip of hot cocoa. Because it calms my nerves. Hot chocolate. So we are, first of all, let's talk about what's happening today, right at this hour. The 9 o'clock hour has passed at the recording of this podcast. It's 9:25 Eastern time right now as I speak. The Pence 25th Amendment thing apparently has passed by, and it hasn't been done, hasn't been invoked, which puts into motion the impeachment 2.0 now for the president. Because who would have thought that the Democrats would still want to impeach President Trump? Oh, I think they already had articles drawn up before he even got into office in 2016, in 2017, before he was sworn in. So this is no big surprise that they want to get him impeached. Now, they are realizing that they may have a hard time pulling this off again in 2024, which they probably could, because why wouldn't they be able to? But in theory, they don't know what's going to happen between now and then. So they're trying to fix it so that he can never run again, because there's potentially 75 to 80 million people out there who would probably vote for him again, especially after the mess they're going to make of things in the next 4 years. And I guarantee you, in 2 years, it'll be really tough to take back either the House or the Senate. I just don't see it happening, even though traditionally the House gets taken back after a president wins. But I just don't see it happening because of the way things are happening right now. Now, I want to also say this right on the onset. I have a special edition of the News According to Me coming out this afternoon, that will be probably around the noontime. And it is my, I'm going to play most of Lindsey Graham's speech the day after the big event on Wednesday. And some of the things he said, because he says some things that, in my opinion, are helping to grease the wheels, and I'll get into that a little bit more later. But it'll be my, basically, comment-by-comment analysis of what he said in that speech and why it is so important, or as he would say, important, that we would not go down this road that he's trying to take us down. He's being sucked right in by the leftists and the ones who hate this country. And I'll show you how that plays out in that special, because it's a long speech. He goes on and on and on because he likes to hear himself talk, like just like me. I like to hear myself talk. That's why I do this podcast, because, you know, I talk for an hour and I get to hear myself for the whole hour. And then, so it's that's why I don't edit it, actually, because I don't want to go back and listen to myself for an hour. But we start off with this whole thing of the impeachment. So the impeachment starts today. The House is supposed to go through with it. Here's my theory on this. They are going to try to push this through now because they're going to say that it's still going to count when Schumer takes over on the 20th. Now, there's a couple of different ways this can play out. If between, I think things will settle down between now and the 20th, maybe, if nothing else, you know, huge happens, which I'm not counting on that because they've got all kinds of things up their sleeve. But right now, the rhetoric is the insurrection that happened on Wednesday, the domestic terrorists that attacked the White House in a violent attack on the Capitol building, on the members of Congress, just about killed half of them, according to AOC. Just on and on and on. This whole rhetoric thing right now has gained all kinds of momentum, and there's people playing into that. However, this is it's going way beyond that now. It's dipping into people's personal lives. It's dipping into all of our lives at this point, and could affect everybody. And of course, that saying that I say it a lot. I'll probably say it every episode. That the rights of every man are threatened when the rights of one man are diminished. And we are seeing that now. And it's been happening over the last more than 4 years, but tremendously in the last 6 years, we've seen a lot of it. Now it is a cabal of the corporatists and the I would call them statists. I don't know if that's the right term or not. The people who are oligarchs, basically the ruling class. The ruling class and those that they that lobby and give them money and pay them to keep them in place. We have a serious problem right now with that whole bunch. So, censorship is what I'm talking about. And let's just ask how far, you know, figure out how far that's going to go. So, I'll start off with this. This is a little bit lighter note and just to kind of some of the details of what's happening here. We got two guys that apparently, of the three that I know names of that went into the Capitol building, the two most popular ones, because of the pictures that were taken, basically they posed for these pictures. One of them was a guy by the name of Jake Chansley. I'm assuming I'm pronouncing it right. He's the most infamous one because he was the guy with the horns. So Jake Chansley, if my sources are correct, and I put that disclaimer in there because I don't know. I'm just reading stuff off the internet. Who knows what could be possible? Supposedly, he has an eating disorder. He can only eat organic food or he gets sick. This sounds like a psychosomatic disorder to me. I bet if he didn't know. I mean, okay, so it's got to be organic. In other words, no GMO, nothing processed, or he gets sick. I know some people have allergies, they have issues, this is, it has to be organic? I mean, do you understand the definition between the organic and not organic? Just means that no pesticides were used, no, you know, nothing. There's, I understand eating organic stuff because of, I apologize. There's some kind of racket going on outside. Sounds like somebody just started up a mower. But I don't know what that was. So it's not mowing season right now, so I'm not sure. And there's no snow on the ground, so it's not a snowblower. Sorry for the distraction. The weird thing, that's just weird to me. So they're concerned about him there, I guess, but he's still in jail. He did not get bail. Adam Johnson, I believe, is the other one. He's the famous one that so many memes are coming out with now, with all, I guess, Leonardo DiCaprio's picture on it. It's pretty funny. He's the lectern stealer. He's the one that was posed with the lectern. Now, granted, the lectern never left the property. He didn't get it out of the building. Unlike Nancy Pelosi's laptop that apparently was stolen. Reports I've seen, that's a legitimate story. Somebody got out with that laptop. Now, they would have had to have left pretty, they would have had to have picked that up pretty quickly and gotten out of the building. Because those who were in the building got rounded up and marched out of there. There was quite a group. There was at least 20 of them, I think. So how you get in there, there's no way that the ones who got marched out of there got out of there with anything. You don't hide a laptop someplace in your, you know, in your pocket. So that's a little bit of a conspiracy theory there. Something weird's going on there. So there is that. Of course, there's. We'll talk about a little bit more about the conspiracy theory. Yeah, it's morning. I need more. Wait, hold on. Ah, there we go. It's a conspiracy theory. We'll talk about more of the conspiratorial issues surrounding this whole thing over the last few months in a little bit. Yeah, because this is going to be a long show. So sit back, pour yourself a cup of coffee, or may I suggest hot chocolate. I currently have Swiss Miss, just because that's what I have. So that's what I'm drinking. It's not the dark chocolate, it's just the regular chocolate. But I digress. So Adam Johnson is out on bail. I think it was $25,000 bail. Here's how ridiculous this is. His life and his family, he's got a wife and kids, are being threatened. He's receiving death threats over this stuff. Now, on the left, they think that's just fine because they think these people should be... We'll talk about this more later, but I don't think you realize the hatred that spills over from Orange Man Bad to the people who voted for Orange Man Bad and how much of that there is. Now, these guys, we don't even know if they're Trump supporters or not. It's really questionable whether these guys are... I have heard things about Jake Chansley that he has some other issues, some other disorders. We'll get into that. These guys, I'm not saying they're Antifa, but I am saying these aren't your typical Trump supporters. And I really have some serious questions about what these guys are in their background. And I'd like to see their social networks, social pages, and see the things that they've been saying, because it just doesn't fit. And so there are those concerns. So Adam Johnson being threatened with death, which doesn't make what he did right. It just simply doesn't make the death threats right either, because that punishment does not fit the crime at all. However, to hear Lindsey Graham talk, you would think it would. You would think that guy should have been shot on sight. To hear Lindsey Graham, and I'll get into that on my special report about Lindsey Graham's speech and why And it's not just Lindsey. I'm picking on Lindsey because he's been the most vocal, and he is one of the leaders in the Senate, even though he could never even win a primary to run when he ran for president. So, which makes you wonder how he keeps getting reelected down there in Carolina. Is it South Carolina? I don't even know where. I think it's South Carolina. South Carolina. So, the issue now is those two guys and all the rest of those people are being called domestic terrorists. And that rhetoric right there, that word, domestic terrorists, and the continued labeling of this entire event as an insurrection, an act, what the president did was an act of sedition, and we'll explore that in just a moment. In fact, let's just explore that now. Let's talk about what sedition is. So I'm going to look up the Merriam-Webster. I don't have a Merriam-Webster definition in front of me. Sorry. This one's good. this explains it well enough. Conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. Conduct or speech. Now, if you go back over, this is where they're getting this. If you go back over Trump's speech, when he says, "I want you to march peacefully and patriotically, and let your voices be heard down at the Capitol building," they're saying that implied that they should go down there and rebel against the authority of the state or monarch. So these people who are already planning to bust into the Capitol building, that somehow Trump was the one who incited all this. And anybody who had anything to do with it is being vilified. Anybody who has anything to do with the Trump movement, with the march that day, is being vilified. They are being put on no-fly lists. They are being treated as, they're being taken off the ability to use Airbnb. They are being banned from certain hotels. They are having certain financial institutions like PayPal and some other banking institutions are forcing their way on some of these individuals. And in fact, the state senators is where they're going first. They're going after Cruz. They're going after Hawley. They are doing things with them to ban them from certain things and to actually punish them for doing something that was completely constitutional and legal. So and by the way, something that the Democrats did in 2016 or 2017, in the 2016 election, as well as in several other elections. Same thing, same exact thing. But now all of a sudden these guys are criminals because somehow that was taking part in what happened to the Capitol. Of course, while they were doing that, they had no idea what was going on outside the Capitol. But somehow they are a part of that now. They are a part of participating in that, and that's why the Loeffler, decided to back out of it, which, you know, in reading her statement, I'll read it again, because you know what? It's worth reading. "The violence, the lawlessness, and siege of the halls of Congress are abhorrent. And stand as a direct attack on the very institution my objection was intended to protect, the sanctity of the American democratic process." So if her objection was intended to protect the democratic process, and all of a sudden someone else decides to attack, their word, attack, the democratic process, how does that nullify her objection? How does that change? No, see, this was based on optics and an emotional response. This was not based on fact or logic. Her objection was based on trying to win what would get her votes. She weighed out her options, and then when that time came, it didn't really matter because she lost anyway. Gee, I wonder why. oh, they're still blaming Trump for that because he didn't campaign enough. So now they're blaming the fact that he didn't campaign enough in Georgia. That's why they lost. But they're saying that now he's the problem. He's the fly in the ointment. He's the reason they lost now because he's so bad. That's why he lost. But you can't have it both ways, guys. So let's leave it at that. So it's contradictory, and there's no logic involved in any kind of the discussion and the debate about that whole thing. So let's move on from that. So let's talk a little bit about some of the, I'm gonna get into, on my special edition here this today, I'm going to get into a lot more about the rhetoric that's coming from Washington, especially from people like Lindsey Graham and others. Because let's face it, guys, when they are the ones who are bolstering and supporting this idea that this was domestic terrorism, those are pretty inflammatory words. Those are pretty big. And they're not just defining those who broke in. They're leaving it hanging open to everybody who marched on the Capitol that day. Think about that. Think about the way they treated the BLM movement when you had Antifa in their group destroying there was a few riots, yeah, but that was mostly peaceful. $2 billion, they're estimating now the insurance claims are over $3 billion now in all the damage that was done. It was mostly peaceful. In the billions of dollars in insurance claims. And you know that there was a lot of damage that was done that wasn't even reported to the insurance. Probably another, you can probably double that because of probably, you know, all the little petty stuff that was done. So, you know, cars, police officers shot. How many police officers died in those riots? But that was okay because there were, you know, because defund the police and the police are the enemy. But all of a sudden, a Capitol police officer who now questionably died in the riot. Supposedly, nobody saw this thing about him getting hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. And that's what he supposedly died from. Now they're saying that he had pre-existing conditions that may have led to his death. We need an autopsy there. Because he went back after this thing was over. He was back at the precinct. I don't know what his injuries were. It was just... This whole thing is so confusing, and so they need to get really clear on this whole thing and be very transparent with it. Otherwise, you're going to have people more upset because now, again, the rumors are flying. These are rumors. I don't know if they're true or not, but we need the facts because otherwise people are going to continue to fill in the blanks. And that's how the conspiracies and the rumors and all that stuff gets started, is by people filling in the blanks on their own. Then they hear somebody say something, and then they pass it on like I'm doing right now. So... the other guy is, they're saying that he was a victim of the riots because he committed suicide 2 days later. Now, I would not doubt that because of some of the rhetoric, and when you hear, when I play part of Lindsey Graham's speech, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but the parts that matter. When you hear some of the things he said concerning the Capitol Police and how he holds them responsible for what happened, you know, this guy may have taken it way too far. I don't know if that's what drove him to the point of feeling responsible for what happened and feeling like he let down his country to that point. Is that what happened? And here you have maybe somebody he respects, Lindsey Graham, I don't know, or maybe somebody else in leadership that he respects, ridiculing them. And here he is willing every day to lay his life down for these people. And they say he's the one, he's the reason to blame for what happened. If he was anywhere near any kind of in a particular mental state, I can see where that kind of dejection implication of him in that could drive him over the edge. I don't know. I don't know what the guy's problems were. I'm speculating on all of that, but I'm just saying this rhetoric is out of control and it can lead to things that we, you know, have unintended consequences, just like what they're saying. Same thing they're blaming the president for saying, I want you to march down to the Capitol peacefully and patriotically and let your voices be heard. And that somehow was the reason that we have people with tools breaking into windows at the Capitol building. Why aren't those windows a little bit better protected? I just don't know. But so that's all I'm going to say about the rhetoric. It's just that's the greasy wheels part of this whole thing, and why they're able to maintain traction and keep this thing going is because it's the rhetoric is out there, and they're playing right into it. And now anything is justified. You can do anything you want to these people because the rhetoric is justified. The rhetoric is justifying the attacks, the counterattacks, you might call it, or actually just a flat-out attack on these people who were there, or anybody who supported Trump, or anybody who questions the election now. If you question the election, it is just an absolute, you know, sin against the nation. You are a part of the sedition. Now, you want to talk about sedition? Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's talk about let's talk about it now. And we'll go into all the conspiracy stuff later. So is Nancy going to jail? There's a good question for you. I've received a lot of information over the past, let me see if I can pull this up while I'm talking. The Nancy Pelosi, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, I talked about it yesterday morning, and then Rabbi Rick and I talked about it a little bit. And this whole thing of Nancy going around the president to talk to the Joint Chiefs at the Pentagon, basically the Defense Department, asking them to keep the nuclear codes away from the president. I don't know if any of you heard about that or not, but that's what happened. Now, here I have, apparently, I don't know if this is true or not. It comes from, it supposedly was one day ago on here. This was a screenshot. But it must have happened right after she contacted the Joint Chiefs about the nuclear codes. It supposedly is from Donald Trump at Team Trump News, which is the way he got around the initial ban. That's been taken down as well because he spoke on it. So Twitter took this down as well. Stand by. So I'll get into this. He says, "Dear Patriots, when Nancy Pelosi contacted the Joint Chiefs to request the nuclear codes be kept from me, it appears she committed a seditious act." So we'll go back to that definition in just a second. "Her attempts to interfere in my administration are a national security threat. We are looking at the various federal criminal statutes we will use to charge her." Doesn't say we are looking into possibly charging her. It says we are looking at the various federal criminal statutes we will use to charge her. This is a shot across the bow to Nancy. Okay, this isn't meant for us to know. This is a message to Nancy. Some of the penalties include up to 20 years in prison, and in some cases, the death penalty. We also have evidence that she had evidence. They have evidence that she has connected to the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, which will lead to additional charges. Thank you for your support, and please spread the word that this is my official Parler account." So this was put on Parler, and before Parler was taken down. So this could have been any time before Sunday evening. It's possible. Now, I don't know. There was 87,000 followers at that time. He had just gotten on Parler. Of course, that's one of the reasons they wanted to take it down. So they took this down. So the question is, is this real? Is this really from Trump? Is it an issue of, do we believe this thing? Of course, in the process of doing this, I just I saw another little ad or another little cartoon with Nancy on it. I won't talk about it. It's going to get me too far off track. So let's go back to where we were with the definition and I don't know what happened. Oh, the definition of, that's the wrong definition right there. Let's see. It's a definition. Where was that? I just had it right here. Sedition. Yeah, that's what it was. So the definition of sedition is an act or a speech that that basically does exactly what she just talked about. It was conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. So we're talking about conduct here. What she did, the conduct that she did incited someone, a subordinate of the president, the commander-in-chief. She goes to a subordinate of his to basically ask him to disobey any orders from the commander-in-chief. Well, got news for you. He's still the duly elected president. And of course, there are those on the left who would say, he was never a legitimate president. Wait a minute, I don't think we can use that kind of speech because he was certified to be the president. So now we're in the same boat as you arguing about Joe being the certified president. So which way is that going to be? We're supposed to accept Joe without question and think that it's the most pristine election ever has ever been held in the country, in the entire universe, when for 4 years we heard nothing but the illegitimacy of the last election in 2016. Because somehow the Russians were able to hack it, but of course this time it wasn't hacked at all. You know, it didn't make any difference. It wasn't hacked. Hillary kept claiming she beat him for 4 years. Still claims that she beat him. So, talk about not accepting the results of an election. Let's talk about that. Let's not. It's just too much. So, the Nancy going to jail thing. Is that even possible? Now, I'm guessing that because of the power of the media, power of the news, and what they can do with the whole narrative, I'm going to bet that's not going to happen. However, this brings us to the conspiracy stuff. And to start in with this, there's a lot of things out there about the Insurrection Act having been signed already. Now, the Insurrection Act would enable the president, let me see if I can actually pull up the information on that. Yeah. There we go. The Insurrection Act I'll just read this. The main provision of the Insurrection Act, it just went away from me. It just disappeared. Huh, that's really strange. The main provision of the Insurrection Act states that troops can only be deployed to an American state by the president if the governor or state legislature requests it. Another provision of the law, however, outlines that under certain limited circumstances involved in the defense or of constitutional rights, the president can send troops unilaterally. Historically, and this is what they were talking about in Seattle. They were saying that if he declared the Insurrection Act at that point, he could send in troops, regardless of whether the governors wanted it or not. Historically and practically, such a request is not necessarily a prerequisite to the president using regular federal troops for domestic law enforcement. That comes from Stephen Vledek, University of Texas law professor. Unfortunately, he's a CNN contributor, so that tells you about much as you need to know about that. The last time it was enacted was in 1992 during the riots in Los Angeles, and that was when the whole town was kind of burning. That was the whole Rodney King thing. So you can also, like, potentially the declaration of an emergency, national emergency, is also like a national emergency, but a national catastrophic event, like a hurricane that kind of thing. It is possible to do that. There are different kind of clauses within the Insurrection Act where the president can act to get troops. It's only for a limited time. Now, so there's a lot of back and forth about what can be done, you know, during the Insurrection Act, what it can, you know, what can happen, what can be incorporated into that, how much power the president has. Now, there's a lot of speculation on why the president has not pulled the trigger on the Insurrection Act, why he hasn't done certain things, why we aren't seeing the military step in and start arresting people. There is some question as to whether or not he has enough people around him, even in the military, that have the political will to carry out such an order. So I think that I think that would be a, you know, I think that's probably where the concern is at this point. If I was in his position, I wouldn't know who to trust. Maybe he knows. Maybe he knows more what's going on. But I just doubt that he has, I think that he realizes that some of the, he's been so betrayed by so many people at this point that he thought he could trust. I don't know. You know, if he were to pull that trigger and sign that kind of a thing, I don't know where it would go. We thought we could count on the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court. They just completely turned their back on it. And really, that's the one place where everybody, even Judy Giuliani and everybody who in this whole movement, thought that that's where the battle was going to be, you know, waged, right there. And they simply wouldn't hear it. A legitimate case simply turned it down flat. They didn't hear evidence. That wasn't part of the turning it down. They didn't turn it down because there wasn't any evidence. That everybody keeps throwing that out there. It wasn't part of that case. That was a constitutional state-to-state case where one state was suing another. And they just flat out wouldn't hear it. Wouldn't get involved, even though that's the only place for a state to go when there's a case like that. So once that card fell, that set in motion a whole bunch of other things. And yes, the states needed to get their act together. The state legislatures kind of absolved themselves and abdicated themselves to, or subrogated themselves, I guess I should say, that to basically just let the governors take over. Governors, secretary of states, they kind of took over their states because of the pandemic thing. They had to let it go. Whitmer actually had some articles of impeachment introduced. That was turned down. The Secretary of State now is going after those who did that. She's actually trying to sanction some of the lawyers that were involved in some of the things that happened up there with lawsuits. That's scary. They talked about banana republics. And when Trump got into office, he was talking about going after Hillary. Well, you don't go after the loser. Really? Okay. And that's what they're doing. Now, they're still going after Trump, a political opponent, like what they would do. And all of his, it is amazing to me, the sweeping motion that's happening right now. I'll put it this way. We are in a Cold War right now. When you look at what happened between us and the Soviet Union, that was called a Cold War. A lot of posturing, a lot of movement, a lot of economic world stage movements, the power structure in the alliances that were formed, the money that was spent to contain each other. That was a Cold War. It was a chess game. And so that's what we're in at this moment. And unfortunately, it is really heated up to the point where I'm concerned, but it's, let's just go on from there. Let's go from what's going on with Nancy, what's going on with that. Let's talk a little bit about that's one part of the conspiracy, is what's going on with the Insurrection Act and why haven't we seen it, you know, enacted yet? And Rick and I will probably talk, Rabbi Rick and I will talk about more of that, this afternoon. But, right now, there's an interesting development, and I've seen this guy, I think his name is Rick Wilson. He's in the Lincoln Project. He's being interviewed. He was interviewed by several people over this last week, and the Lincoln Project was really stepping up because they were being very vocal about some of the things about Trump. Now, they have been known as being anti-Trumpers for quite some time. In fact, I think I've got some information here on them. See what I can pull up. Yeah, it's here. The Lincoln Project was, these people, they're connected to the McCains and the Bushes and all those folks. But the Lincoln Project was founded basically by people who are rabid never-Trumpers, establishment Republicans. Some of the material that they put out before the election, and it was incredibly inflammatory, saying that Trump was a dictator. He was going to be in for 3 or 4 terms. Was never going to go. And this ridiculous stuff that intelligent people would not go with. Now, one of the co-founders, I don't know how many co-founders there are. I think there were only a few, but there were several people in it. But one of the co-founders, whose name is, I believe, his first name is John. I think his last name is, can't read my own writing. Sorry. Looks kind of like Wilson or Weaver. I don't see it. Maybe I can find it here on the line. But he was just recently arrested. And he was just recently arrested. Him and about 70 other people, the reason he was arrested was because he was grooming and assaulting young men. Weaver. Weaver's his last name. John Weaver. This is reported by Times of News. That's where this comes from. And, so John Weaver the formal charge, I guess, that's according to what this is saying, is he was grooming and assaulting young men. Which is, I think that falls under the definition of pedophilia. I know that there's a certain age group that the pedophilia thing falls into, and over a certain age, it's not. So I have to get into those definitions, but basically this guy's a rat. So it infuriates me to that extent. And I'm sorry, but looking at this Rick Weaver guy, Rick Wilson. Yeah, John Wilson and Rick Weaver. Looking at the other guy that's a co-founder as well, has been in a lot of interviews in this last week, being interviewed by a lot of Democrats. Rick Wilson made the comment, and I paraphrase, this isn't a direct quote, but he basically said that now that Biden is officially elected president, America can be great again. Seriously. And that's where the never-Trumper attitude is. Now, I don't know anything about Rick Wilson, but I know that when I see the guy and when I hear him talk, he gives me the heebie-jeebies. That's all I can tell you. I can only give you my perspective. The guy, to me, is creepy. That's all I can say. I don't know about his buddy, John Weaver. Never heard him speak that I know of. All I know is the stuff that the Lincoln Project has put out. Which, by the way, also leads us back to more conspiratorial type stuff. So let's talk about the stuff that's going on out there. I don't have much more time. Of course, this is always supposed to be a short... I always say this is supposed to be a short recording, and it always ends up being an hour long. I might as well just make this an hour long show. But if I do that, it'll probably go to 2 hours. So if you want me to go to 2 hours, just let me know. Because I can keep going all day. Well, I have to take about a 3-hour break when Rush comes on. If Rush comes on. Because when he's not on, I don't really care. So Oh, once in a while he has some good people on there, but it's, I just, yeah. So anyway, we'll get into that. So the, we'll get into that later when I start my normal show talking about the news people. You know, this show is supposed to be more about the news people than it is about the news. It's so much news right now. I can't, you know, can't avoid it. So we have, the Italy thing. Let's talk about that. Okay, so there's this rumor now, and I'm getting all these texts. People are sending me information. And I'm seeing all this stuff online. Everyone's talking about the, even the president of Italy now has been supposedly detained. And the defense minister who resigned, he supposedly, there's this whole elaborate story about how he got, he confessed to being the guy in the room that was adjusting all the votes. And he's in part, he's got the the information on Hammer and Scorecard, and he was the part of Dominion, and the CIA was involved, and there's rogue operatives in the CIA that were helping him do this, and they were changing the election, and blah, 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 and it goes on and on and on. At the bottom line is, they need money to get these people out of Italy because they're afraid they're going to be killed. And they're in hiding. This guy's in hiding, supposedly, waiting for the ability to be extracted from Italy to testify that that he changed the votes from Biden, and he was doing it under the direction of the Italian government, based on what's going on in, supposedly, the Vatican has their finger on this. I'm not kidding, guys. And there are people who are buying into it, and there are people who are donating to this thing. When I heard this elaborate story and the way she was on, this lady who was talking about it was on this phone call. It was a conference call. A bunch of people were involved in it, and a lot of them were faith leaders, well-known faith people in the country. And some of them were chiming in, some of them were asking questions, and they weren't asking the right questions, in my opinion. They were basically where they weren't, honestly, it's amazing to me the kind of detail there was in this story. And this is typical of two things. One, a pathological liar is incredibly good at weaving a story and coming up with all these ideas and all these little details to fill in the blanks to make it all sound like it's just this, you know, who would make this stuff up? It's not just a crazy story with a lot of, you know, vague inferences. This is right down to, then she took the pen out of her pocket and she put this thing in there. It's just all this little stuff, little bitty details. And then they go into, you know, they kind of play down the idea that they need money, but they keep that woven into the story. They're looking for financing. They're looking for an airplane to get the person out, blah, blah, blah. Now there are people that, and this is plays on, it triggers something in a person who really wants to see something happen. We really want to see this election overturned. We really want to see something happen here in the end. We have this hope. And this plays on that string. And people go nuts with it. They accept it because it's what they want to hear. Now, you know, if it's true, there's nothing I can do about it. If it's not true, there's nothing I can do about it. And believing in it anymore or not is not going to make it any different. If it's happened, it's happened. If it's happening, it's happening. I can't change that. All I can do is sit here and say, I'll see. We'll see. I don't know. To me, it sounds crazy. Because I've been involved in some scams before. I had a close friend. I was in a side mode. I didn't get taken by anything, but this, my friend got taken big time. And a lot of people around him, a lot of his friends got taken because he talked him into it. I saw it all happen, and I saw how the person manipulated everybody. And frankly, this smells just like it. I hope that the people of means and the people with money have not bought into this thing, have not donated money or tried to finance any of this. Because the story will go away, that person will go away, and you'll never hear about it again, and they'll blame it on, well, the FBI sucked them up and took them away. They were captured by the CIA. Yeah, that's not what happens. They're someplace on an island with the money. So, the other thing is this whole QAnon thing. Q. I heard a report this morning by this guy who had a very elaborate story as well about how this, and this apparently was on, it wasn't last night. I was born at night, but not last night. And the, I think that this was actually recorded two nights ago on Sunday, right before Parler went down. I don't know that he was on Parler saying this, but I think it was spread around on Parler a little bit. However, here's the deal. Supposedly, the agents of Q, who's in charge of all these special forces and special ops people, supposedly they're all in place. They're all receiving their orders and opening their packets right now. This is during while he was, you know, recording this thing. He was a British, bit of a cheeky fellow. He was kind of a British guy. And there are several of those out there, which makes you kind of wonder. So this guy was, he was talking about how this event is about to take place. And he's saying they're all in place now. It's just a matter of time. He said in the next, he didn't give any time frame. He said, because things are very fluid. You never know when they're, when he was supposedly was on the phone. This guy was supposedly on the phone with the Q himself or herself or whoever this is. I'm assuming it's a guy. And he talked about how there's a lot of people who fall under the term Q. They would call themselves Q because they represent Q, but he said, you will never see Q. He stays out of the limelight. He stays, he stays out of the press, stays out of the pictures. But the actual guy who is Q is this behind the scenes thing. It's, nobody knows who he is other than the people who are directly involved with Q and this guy that was on the phone with him, apparently. I'm not making this up. This is what the guy said. So, okay. So that's Q. Okay. There you go. That's one of the Q stories. Is there even a Q? I don't know. And does it matter whether or not I know? No, it doesn't really matter. So I'm just throwing that out there to say, don't get too worked up about this stuff. Don't put your hope in things that are unverified. There's a proverb, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I see people keep getting the rug pulled out from under them. They keep putting their hope in, well, this is going to happen on the 6th. This is going to happen on the 20th. This is going to happen on whenever it is, the 17th of December, whatever it is. Because there's all these guys out there who are speaking prophecies and they're putting dates on things. And people put their hope in that. And that doesn't happen. It comes and goes. Well, God's delaying. And he keeps delaying. Okay? That's possible. But that continuation of hope being deferred is making people sick at heart. And that's a bad state to be in, because once you recover from that, you develop a callus on your heart. I won't even go into that. So Nancy going to jail? That's the question. Well, let's just talk about those conspiracy theories for now. Italy, the Q, the Insurrection Act, whether or not that's happening behind the scenes, that's all part of the Q thing as well. Whether or not, Trump is actually he's waiting for all this stuff to happen. He's showing all these people to be the traitors that they are and finding out who's on whose side, and then he's going to swiftly come in and just remove them all. Well, he can't just do that with this wave of, what's he going to do? A magic wand? He's going to go magic wand? He's going to make all that happen? Well, we'll see the magic wand he's going to use. Well, maybe he does have one. He had one for the economy. So, I don't know. I just don't think that there are people in the swamp and the deep state that have the political will. And maybe there are some real, true America-loving patriots there. But from what I'm seeing and what I've seen is that the people in the top don't care. The nation that we had founded, the nation that the founders had intended, when President Obama, when he was asked who his favorite president was, I don't know if he was being truthful or not, but you know, he's a Boy Scout. He's never lied. So he said Abraham Lincoln. That's a pretty safe answer. When anybody ever asks you, that's a pat answer that all politicians are told. Who is your favorite president? Abraham Lincoln, because he is the most popular president in the country. He was the most popular president in the country. Now, they have started tearing down Lincoln's statues. They have started painting his face blood red because he didn't do enough during the Civil War. He didn't go far enough. He didn't do enough to help the African American community. So therefore, he is. And now, I want to touch on this as well, because this is where this stuff leads to. And this is why I'm so concerned about the rhetoric that I'm hearing and the momentum and the buoying up of this idea that we're dealing with seditious domestic terrorists if they question the election. Because here's where they're going. This is how it starts. This is how it started. I could go through time and time again in history how this has happened. They start tearing down statues. They start tearing down pictures, symbols, all those things. Now, the statues are, they look like people. They're tearing them down. They're not real people, but they are practicing because eventually they do come for real living people. They start doing real lynchings. And that's not just a thing that white people do to black people. That's happened in other countries. White people do it to white people. Black people do it to black people. A lynching is simply a group of people or a mob basically taking over and executing justice on their own, whether it's justified or not. And many times it is based on a lie. 99% of the time it's based on a lie. And we are headed there. And it doesn't happen. You know, everybody always asks, well, how are they going to come after 80 million people? Well, one bite at a time. They don't do this where they just come after everybody all at once. Now, they might shut everybody's fun, because you do that, and then you've got the whole hordes of people that are going to come at you with pitchforks. However, right now there's a record number of guns and ammunition out there, so that's not going to happen right away. So they're going to have to take that away first, which all they have to do is start picking away at one person at a time. One person at a time, they start taking some groups down, and then they come after some others, and then they can start taking larger groups. And then they can buy into, and they can vilify those groups as much as possible so that everybody else doesn't want to associate with them, so that those people back away. And then you start swaying people and reconditioning them, reprogramming them into the fact that, well, if you support Trump, you're a domestic terrorist. He's a vicious, evil man. And so therefore, if you have support for him, or if you question this election like he does, well, then you're part of the problem. And that's where we're headed. You're an evil person if you do that. So it's that's where we're headed. And I, the rhetoric that is backing that up and in fact electrifying and causing this problem is something to be dealt with. And I'm concerned when I see our senators, our representatives, getting sucked right into that message. So that's all I have today. It's all I have. It's a few things, a few little things to think about. So go out there, discuss, talk about it. Or better yet, text me at 574-742-6748. 574. But wait, there's more. 742. How do you do? 6748. Don't be late. Don't be a loser. In case you haven't heard the song is kind of hitting the top of the charts here pretty shortly. It's going to be a big hit at some point. We're going to play it right now for your listening enjoyment, because you need to hear this.
Yeehaw! Here we go! Come on, go!
Well, 574.
But wait, there's more! course. 7:42. Well, how do you do? 6:48. Text that number. It will be great.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be late. Text that number. Text that number.
Don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser. 5-7-4-7-4-2-6-7-4-8.
Yeah. It's, look at that. The crowd loves it. It's a big hit. Wow. So, yeah, stay tuned for the, be watching for the special edition that's coming out with Lindsey Graham, my commentary on Lindsey Graham's speech and what that means to us. That will not be an hour long. However, it seems like he's talking for an hour, but he actually only talks about 20 minutes. So we'll try to keep it down to a 30-minute podcast here, special edition coming out. So once again, thanks for being with us. God bless. Keep praying for our country, our nation, our leaders. It's not too late to turn around. Maybe God's going to do something big. I think he is. So we'll go from there. Amen. Have a great day, folks. Stay tuned for two more shows yet today. Rabbi Rick's coming in later, and I'll be doing the, I'll be doing the special edition. See you later.